You're listening to the teaching podcast for Crossridge Women. The following is audio from our winter 2025 study in the book of Philippians. It's Philippians. How do we feel about Philippians? There's some cheering. Wow. Philippians is a book that has like the longest list of greatest hits. Did you know that? Especially greatest Instagram hits. And if you're of a different generation, not Instagram hits, but cross-stitch pillow hits, right? There is a lot. There is a lot of verses in Philippians that nowadays end up on Instagram and also on cross-stitched material. Yes. So here, let's see how much you know about Philippians. I can do all things. There you go. I love to hear all the different versions. You're like, you're giving away your age here. He who began a good work in you. Yeah. My God will supply all your needs according to. Yeah, we do. We know a lot about Philippians, right? Maybe some of you are like, wow, I knew that. I didn't know it was from Philippians. Yeah, I knew it was from Grandma's couch, the pillow of Grandma's couch. That's where it came from. I trust that by the end of this session, and actually not even the end, but even as we go through, that it will be powerful for us to see some of these verses in context, and even maybe more powerful than when we first just think of those verses and the thoughts that those conjure up for us. So first of all, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do tonight. Okay, here's the shape of tonight. First of all, we always do this at the beginning. I'm going to give you a little sense of why and how we study. And we're going to do that actually just by walking through our study guide so that you know exactly what you're doing when you leave. Okay, so it's sort of dual purpose. You're going to look at the study guide to see what you need to do, what we're going to do together. And while we do that, I'm going to explain why we study this way and how we study. Then we're going to move into our small groups and we're actually going to study together. We're going to take about 20 minutes this week. It'll be a little shorter this week. And we'll do some work together in the book of Philippians. We're going to dig in even tonight. And then after that, we're going to come back to large group discussion and then we'll wrap it up. So I always preface the first intro night by saying I don't usually talk as much as I will tonight. Okay, after tonight, I won't talk as much, but we always start in our intro night. There's a little bit more coming from me. So if that offends you, after tonight, that's over. Okay. Normally, this is our shape. From now on, when you come in 2 weeks, and after that, we always go right to our table like you did. You grab your hot drink and whatever from the table. And then you go to your small group and we take a few minutes just to do what we were doing, laughing and sharing and getting to know each other more. And then at the appointed time, your group leader will get you started and we do some work at our table for half an hour. And then we transition into large group discussion where we sort of all talk together. So we start by talking just in our table, then we talk all together, and then we end with just a little bit of teaching time. All right? Okay. And then after that, we send you into independent study. We used to call it homework. Now we call it independent study. Better. And there's a reason for that. We'll get to that. And after part of your independent study is you will receive emails from me on Mondays, as well as there's always a podcast. So all the teaching and the discussion that we have goes up on podcast, and you can like re-listen if you zoned out a few times, or if you missed a time, or if you want to share it with someone else, okay? You can always catch up and listen, and that's part of our studying together too. Okay, so at Crossridge, we have 5 core values. The very first one says we are shaped by the Word. We want to be shaped by the Word. This is the primary way that we grow in community with each other as women at Crossridge. And how we study the Bible is shaped by what we believe the Bible is. Okay? We don't think that we just have this amazing framework that nobody else knows about and like we're doing it the right way. That's not true. We study the Bible a certain way because we believe some important things about the Bible. And because we know those things are true about the Bible, we're going to approach it in certain ways rather than approaching it in other ways that we might. Okay? If you turn to the back of your little study guide that everybody should have tonight, the Philippians one, to page 53 in the back, there's a page that's called The Bible Is. Primarily, we believe that the Bible is a book. And it's actually more true to say that the Bible is a library because it's a collection of books, right? How many books? 66, written by how many authors? Approximately. Yeah, say it, Karen. Yeah, approximately 40. That's right. Over how many years? Yeah, about 1,500, maybe 2,000, somewhere in there. We don't know exactly, but somewhere right in there, okay? Human authors in human languages to a human audience. It is literature. It's a book. God chose to reveal himself to us in literature, in books. And so knowing that the Bible is literature, we're going to approach it as literature. Okay, so let's have a look at specifically first what kind of literature we believe it is. Okay, starting on page 10, after we do some work tonight together, you're going to go home and for 2 weeks, you are going to do independent study in the book of Philippians using this study guide. And what you're going to be responsible for basically is pages 10 to 15. That's it. So I think it's 6 pages. That is what we used to call homework, and now we call independent study. Our first step always after we pray and ask God to open our eyes is that we read. We read the passage, and we've divided it up so that it is in small, manageable chunks. Philippians is nice and short. It's only 4 chapters. So it is really easy to read all in one sitting. 14 minutes, I think, is what they say. You can start this week by reading the whole thing, and then we're going to focus on chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. We read and read and read as the beginning of our study because we believe that the Bible is meditation literature. It's actually ancient Jewish meditation literature. It is artistically layered with meaning, and it's meant to be read over a lifetime. The more you read it, the more you see. And we read and we read and we read. So we start with reading and then we keep reading repetitively. If the only thing you do for your independent study before 2 weeks is up is you read or listen to, because we have Bible apps that read it to us, the passage 5 times, you will be in a very good shape to talk about and have a Bible discussion about this passage in Philippians. Repetitive reading is one of the most undervalued study tools. We skip over it very quickly. And I had a professor that one time said that really until we've read the passage 5 times, we might not start to see things. And I experienced that. I read something one time and I'm like, well, I got nothing. And after the 5th time, I'm like, whoa, I didn't see that before, that repeated word or whatever it is. So repetitive reading is the most important thing you do over the next 2 weeks. We have printed out the whole text of Philippians in your book. You can see there on page 10, that passage is there. That is the CSB, also known as the Christian Standard Bible, not Canadian. Lots of you are studying in the ESV. They're very similar. You are welcome to use either, but if you're wondering why don't you see that certain word that I said, you might just want to look at the CSB. We like to use it because it maintains the integrity of translating word for word, and yet it just makes things a little smoother. And maybe next week when you come, I'll read you a verse from Philippians out of the ESV, and you'll hear how clunky it is compared to when I read it out of the CSB. Or you can do it at home if you read Philippians 1 to 5. There's a couple verses in there that is just much smoother out of the CSB. So we're going to read repetitively, and we just want to say that it is designed to be read over a lifetime. You know, I often hear women say, oh, I did women's Bible study. I did that already when I was younger. I've done all the books, or I've studied Philippians. Lots of you have. How many people have studied Philippians before? Lots of people in there, right? But because we believe the Bible is meditation literature, that means we can come back and study it again and again and again. And every time the Lord is going to reveal something deeper and new about himself and about our relationship with him as we go along. So meditation literature means we're going to spend a lot of time just reading the passage. After that, on the next page, page 11, we're going to think about the Word of God as being ancient literature. Ancient literature. So this means that this book, Philippians, was written by ancient people in ancient languages to other ancient people in ancient contexts. It is not a modern book. So we need to understand the ancient context so that we can understand what Paul really wanted to say to those ancient people. We need to know a little bit about what their life was like. And what their world was like. We always say that we need to first think about what this book means to them then. Okay, that means what did it mean to the first people who read this letter way back in this ancient time? We need to know what it meant to them then before we can know what it means to us today. So because of that, words really, really matter a lot. We need to look at words. And we do that by marking the text. We're going to mark the text. So you can see there on page 11 in your study guide, there's always this question that says, mark these suggested observations in the text. So there's words, there's phrases, there's contrast, there's repetition. There's all sorts of things that we ask you to mark. And so there are usually four or five ways that we're going to focus on marking the text. And then after that, you can feel free to mark however you want to mark. In the back of the study guide, page 52, this time, I put a list of all sorts of things you might look for if you're reading a letter. So if you mark those five things and then you think, well, that was fun, I want to mark more, you can go to page 52 and you can see some other things that you might mark. I think it should be an individual process. As you can see, I like to use shapes and little pictures, and I underline things and I put a box around it. Some people just like to use exclusively colored pencils, and I think you need to do what works best for you. If you know me, you know I'm a little bit afraid of color. I really love black and white art. I love graphic doodling. In my Bible, I always carry a pencil. So it doesn't matter where I am, if I have my Bible, I can always mark because I just have a pencil. I don't need to carry my highlighter. So that is personal preference. You have to do what works best for you. And that can change and shift over time. So we're going to mark a lot of words. Then once we mark, usually get to this stage where we have all these pictures or colors all over our page. And then we say, so what? What am I supposed to be seeing here? I don't know why I marked all this. And this is when we start moving a little bit more from observation into interpretation. And we think, okay, why did he use these words? Why is this important for us to see? And so then on pages 12 and 13, as you turn the page, there's about five or six questions that help us make sense of our marking. Okay, they're questions that direct you back to what you marked and guide you in thinking about, why did you mark that? Or why would Paul say that? And now we're starting to get beyond what does the text say, but what does it mean? There's always one or two questions on that second page that are making us think about the gospel. And that's because we believe that the Bible is messianic literature. Every single book we read is either pointing forward or backwards to Jesus. It is not primarily and first about us. Sometimes we think that, you know, we think this is a guidebook for us. This is answering our questions, right? It's like a magic eight ball. We shake it and we get an answer. We flip it open and we get the guidance that we needed. And the Bible was not written for that purpose. That is not what it is meant to do. It is messianic literature. It is the story of Jesus and is always pointing to him first, and then eventually we can learn something about us, but it's not primarily about us. So there's always going to be a question that's going to say, what do you learn about God? What do you learn about who Jesus is, or what he has done? What do we learn about the gospel? What is true about man and sin and salvation and our relationship with God? So it is messianic literature. Next, we're going to say it's unified literature. And that just means that every single book, even Ezekiel, even Leviticus, it all contributes to one big story, okay? So because of that, whenever we're in a book, we're always looking for connections. We want to see how is it connected within itself, because there are ways that the book is connected together. It has a structure and a framework, but we also want to see how is it connected to the rest of the Bible? How is it connected to what comes after and what comes before? And so one way that we do that is just cross-references. And that just means we look at other places in the Bible where it might talk about some of these same things that we saw in our passage. And it helps us to think through the bigger themes that are going on. Where is someone talking about this before? Wisdom literature. We believe that the Bible is wisdom literature. We want to be shaped by it. That's our core value. We want to be shaped by the word. We are always being shaped by something. The things we take in shape us. Those cookies over there and the brownies, you know, they are shaping us. We are always being shaped. And you know what? The culture and the world around us wants to shape us too. They want to shape the way that we see the world, the way we see other people, the way we see our circumstances and the difficult situations that we're going through. And we say we want to be shaped by the word. We want to look through scripture at everything that is coming into our life. And we sort of process it with spiritual sight so that we don't just see it like everybody else does. We see it through this lens of God and who he is and what he has done for us. And we want it to shape our thinking and our feeling and our actions too. So after we do all those questions, you turn the page to page 14 and you'll get to four or five questions that we call application questions. And these questions say, okay, you dug into some context, you know a bit about what is being said in the passage and why he would say that and what those people were understanding. Now we want you to think, what does this mean for us today? What does this mean for you now? And so we go through these application questions and we ask God to shape us through scripture. And then if we get to a point where we say, well, I don't know how to apply this. I don't know how it should change my thinking or my feeling or my actions. Then we do the next page, which is always prayer prompts. And I have become increasingly convinced that one of the best ways to apply scripture, as we see on page 15, is to pray it. And lots of times we say, like, I don't know how to pray out of scripture. I don't know what that means. It's just taking something that you've read in the passage and turning it to praise. Why would you praise because of something in this passage? How does this passage call you to maybe confess sin or to turn back to God in repentance? How does something in this passage cause you to have thanksgiving in your heart or be grateful to God for something? Or how does this passage prompt you to ask God for what you need? And I think that when we begin to do that, we are applying scripture. That is a really important part of application. All right, so I'm going to let you turn the page, but just so you know, page 16 is not part of your independent study. But the final step in what we do here is that we study together. And that's because we believe the Bible is communal literature. So we need to be studying it together. When we come back in 2 weeks, like I said, we'll have small group time. Page 16 is the page you're going to do with your group. So if you have a bit of, you know, worry about that, you can always look ahead so you know what's coming. If that sets you at ease, you're welcome to do it. But actually, if you have done all the independent study, you're going to have a lot to contribute. And if you had a week where things fell apart and you did not get to all the questions, or you feel like you wished you would have spent more time in your independent study, but you listened to or read the passage five times, you will also be able to really contribute to that conversation and that study, because we're going to do it together in our small groups. I just think it's really important to remember that the Bible was written into communities with the purpose of shaping those communities. We have this book where we can get up early in the morning, we can have a lovely cup of coffee and turn on a little light or light a candle or the fireplace, and we can sit and have this really beautiful, like, quiet time or devotions by ourselves. It is a blessing to us, and it is so wonderful that we have a book that we can all read the scriptures. We can actually read it on our own. That is not the case for most of church history. People did not have their own copy. Even this letter, there was one copy that was sent to a church, and they would gather together, probably in the home of Lydia, and someone would read it out loud. And they would all listen and say, wait, can you say that again? Say that again. And what do you think he meant? Does anybody know what he meant by that? Like, what's he talking about? And they would talk about it together. Scripture was studied in community because it was written for the purpose of shaping that community. Now, because of the grace of God and because of his Spirit and because we actually have our own copies of the Bible, we can have that independent study. And don't hear me saying that that is not important, but it is only part of it. Your independent study will impact your studying with other believers, and your communal study together will really impact your independent study. We need both of those things in our life. And sometimes I worry that we have neglected in the past the importance of actually studying together. And I say that because we can come together at a Bible study and just talk about our independent study and everything we learned, but we're not actually digging into it together. We're not getting those ahas at the same time. We're not wrestling through it. We're maybe just sharing what it meant to us, right? Yeah. So communal study, we need other people to help us. We need to be accountable to our sisters in Christ so they can say, hey, like, how are you doing with that? I know you were wrestling with it, and God really prompted you to listen and obey. Like, how's that going? How can I pray for you? Or what can I do to help you? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to study together, and then we're going to walk it out and try to live it out together in community. You can see there's one final little part that I didn't fill in on our graphic, and that is, first and foremost, the Bible is divine and human literature at the same time. This is the most amazing and beautiful thing. The story of the Bible is the story of God and humans. It tells a story of who God is and why are there humans. What is his relationship to them and their relationship to him? It is our story. And the more we know God through his story, the more we can understand ourselves and what he is calling us to do and be, and how he wants to partner with us, how he wants to walk with us through this world that he has created. So two things. We say it's divine. We know from scripture that it is inspired by God, right? It is living and active, 1 Timothy says. It is breathed out. That's what the word inspired means, is that it's breathed out by God. And there is a sense that we know it, that it is divine literature because it is alive with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is at work in this book, in this literature, written by humans, and yet inspired and breathed out by God. Paul, in another letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13, he says this, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. This book is divine. It is inspired by God, and that is why we pray. That is why we pray in the beginning. That is why we pray when we get stuck. That's why we pray at the end to apply it, because we need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and our ears and our heart to the message that he has for us in it. So it's divine, but it's also human. Like we said, It's written by human authors. We are going to press into this idea through something we call the BRI, which is the background required information. So that's what we're going to do right now. The BRI, or the background required information, are just five questions that we always ask of every text before we study it, and helps us understand that human ancient context. When we're reading and we're thinking and we're trying to understand, remembering who the author and audience is. So we are going to move to our small group time right now. That's pages 6 to 8. I'm going to give you 20 minutes. We're going to try to get all the answers we can out of Philippians chapter 1, 1 to 11, which is printed out for you on page 8. So I'm going to dismiss you to your table leaders, and they're going to lead you through those two pages, and you can dig in together.
Hey, thanks for joining us. For more information about Crossridge Women and to access our resources, visit crossridge.church/wstudy. And as always, thanks for studying along.